What is the church? Part 3.2. If you were here last week, I'm glad we didn't try to cover too much, but we're looking at what is the church. And we've started the invisible church, the way God sees it, all believers, the body of Christ, and we're now zeroing in on the local church, and in our case, this local branch office of the Community Fellowship of Christians. And so the what is sometimes called the church militant, the church triumphant, dead saints, Billy Graham, folks in heaven, but while we are still on this earth, the church militant, we are striving against the world, the flesh, the devil. This is a famous icon attributed to Athanasius, but the picture of what it is we are about while here on earth. And we looked last time at part of the local church is the purity. Christ, as our bridegroom, has sanctified and set us apart and cleanses us. And as we grow in this life, that one day he can present his bride, us, to the Heavenly Father, pure in the white raiments, like we see pictured in wedding dresses today, but the purity of the church, cleansing her with the washing of the water, holy without blemish, Ephesians chapter 5. We looked at some areas of purity that, as a church, are we free from wrong doctrine? Are we conducting ourselves the way God wants? Are we conforming ourselves to God's revealed word? Those are all areas where to be a more pure, we might say, local church. Now, of course, we're never going to be perfect, but are we striving to be the pure church worthy of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ? Then we also looked at the unity, free from divisions among Christians. And that's one thing I commend. We get along pretty well, and I think we get along pretty well with other church families, because if we didn't, shame on us. It is not a competition. We are all about the Lord's business, even though we just happen to meet at local branch offices. And so we looked at some of the areas where, especially forgiveness, that in our lives, family members, maybe in this church family, I mean, sometimes that happens, but forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. So the purity and the unity. Well, now, what is the purpose of the church? And for those of you that are going to be at the board meeting later, you want to know my vision? Okay, this is it. This ought to be all of us. What is our purpose? And let's make it concrete for the Community Fellowship of Christians, or any Christian, ideally, in a local church. The church ultimately exists to glorify God. Now that's a big umbrella. It covers an awful lot of stuff. But if we lose sight of that, we're going to get mixed up elsewhere. So we start with the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7. I quote this a lot, but talking about God's people, so Israel in the Old Testament, but as God's people in the New Testament church, we might say, Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, says God, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him. So that is what ultimately we need to be about. And like I read in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talking about if the unity of Jews and Gentiles, my goodness, Annapolis grads, West Point grads, we hate each other. How much greater the disunity of Jews and Gentiles. So in Paul's day, only God and the mystery, like I say, that's something hidden, that God had a plan for his people Israel, but then the church. And so Jews and Gentiles in one body. And like he says in verse 10 there, that the church, so now that's a local church concretely for us, is to be a shining beacon. Beacon on a hill, like we might say. Verse 10, let me reread that. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The principalities, powers, the angelic, the demonic realm, the spiritual realm, the entire world, the church, is one of the avenues that God is making known his manifold. Big word for just various ways to show if God can do this between Jews and Gentiles, imagine what he can do in your life or whatever the issue is, the church is to be reflecting his glory to show his wisdom from ages past and into today. A quote from F.F. Bruce, a good New Testament commentator, I like this quote, "The church appears as God's pilot scheme for the reconciled universe of the future." That's pretty lofty language. "The uniting of Jews and Gentiles in Christ was God's masterpiece of reconciliation and gave promise of a time when not Jews and Gentiles only, but all mutually hostile elements in creation," that's a pretty big subject, everything is creation, right, "would be united in that same Christ." So the church is important, folks. Don't mess with the bride of Christ. The manifold wisdom being made known, beacon to the world, we might say, of what God is doing. And then a few, little later at the end of chapter 3 of Ephesians, a couple verses before you go into chapter 4, which is the foundation of the first three chapters, and you go into chapter 4 that we read last week, you one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But he finishes off in verses 20 and 21, the last couple verses of chapter 3. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and literally in Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." So folks, the glory of God, that is the overarching. Why are we here? Everything we do as a church, but also in our lives, hopefully that's back there somewhere as we're thinking about what we are doing in this life. And if you don't believe that, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution of the Community Fellowship of Christians, which you all raise your right hand and swear an oath to. No. But our Constitution, this church family, I mean, I just love the founding and the history of this church family. "The purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto in support of the cause of Jesus Christ." The cause of Jesus Christ, his glory. That's why we're founded. So if you don't believe the Bible, "Oh, I don't like that Bible stuff." That's why we, you know, that's why it's a privilege to be part of the family with all you outlaws. Aren't you? But that's what a noble, I love what our church family claims it believes, do we? I think we do. Glory of God, then what are some realms of glory? What are some areas then where we can do this? Sometimes church mission statements, you see this a lot, that it starts with obviously worship. The church should be about God-centered worship and praise. Exalt, if you want an E. We're going to exalt God. One of the main things we should be doing Sunday morning is exalting, praising, worshiping God. Like I read for the call to worship, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Worship, you've all heard this, the old English word comes from worth-ship. Giving someone, in this case God, his worth. The worth, giving honor that is due him. Jesus, the woman at the well in John 4, very familiar passage, right? Little history going on with the Samaritans and Jesus, the Jewish man. But Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers," we want to be true worshipers, "will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit. "And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so it's spiritual, God enabled the power, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, but also truth. We're not here to make up our own stuff. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. God's word is truth. So spirit and truth. You need both. You need some excitement. You know, "I'm not quite dead yet." We want some excitement, but we also need to be excited while anchored in God's truth. If you don't believe that, the Community Fellowship of Christians mission and purpose statement says we are going to honor God through our worship, praise, and prayer, honoring God, glorifying, worshiping, praising, all of life. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How much more in church? And prayer. The King of the universe wants to talk to us. And so prayer is an area that I know I fall short in my life. We can always do more prayer. And part of prayer is to conform our will to His. So when we pray in Jesus' name, that's not a mantra to get that new Cadillac. God, I want a Cadillac in Jesus' name. No, it's for His glory, His cause, I am praying, God, you do and help me to understand as I'm living my life for His glory. So exalting. Folks, that's the great commandment. Love the Lord your God. When we get the worship, now we can horizontally love one another. So the church should be about God-centered worship and praise. The church should be about God-centered growth and maturity. Another E, we're exalting God. We are edifying ourselves. And that is what we do here on Sunday mornings and any other time we gather here. That should be about edifying. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, to a church that had a lot of divisions and problems and all sorts of things that were drawing them away from the centrality of what they ought to be about. Paul says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm singing, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. So there are many ways to go about worship and spiritual gifts, and we can get so distracted and excited about it, but if it's not ultimately edifying us, we're missing the point of what the church is about. If you don't believe what God's Word says, the Community Fellowship of Christians, mission and purpose statement, that we are to teach and nurture through God's Word that all may be mature in Christ, discovering our gifts and using them in ministry. So teaching, nurturing, studying the manufacturer's handbook, Bible study, message. I realize I have more of a teaching style from God's Word where what the love letter God gave us, revealed truth. I believe inerrant, infallible, that helps us for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, as Paul told young Pastor Timothy. And so we are studying God's Word, anchoring what we do, edifying ourselves with what God says, not what man says. And oh, by the way, in our statement of faith, we are holding to the Apostles' Creed as our statement of faith. And so when we say that, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that is a creed that reflects, despite maybe some controversy over a few words every now and then in there. But the idea of the Apostles' Creed, the statement of faith. Let me reread then, so that we are in our mature in Christ, discovering our gifts and using them in ministry. Here again now in Ephesians chapter 4. So right after what I read in chapter 3, now there's the unity of the church. And then Paul talks about the gifts. He himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, edification, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, a lot of long passage there, but God's Word, the pastor, teacher, the different roles in the church are about not being tossed to and fro like children, spiritual children, but edifying ourselves in love and truth. That's what tied to what the community fellowship is, that we are to nurturing through God's Word. But then also, I like this one, we all like this one, Community Fellowship of Christians, part of our mission and purpose is to create a caring and growing fellowship where all are welcome. And I would like to think we do a pretty good job job at that. And fellowship, our family, we are a church family. Of course, fellowship means food. We have lots of food. I always like that. Caring and growing, knit together in love. And when you think of the Apostle Paul, where he writes about being, you know, building, being built, and agriculture, he uses a lot of metaphors, but to show what a church family should look like. And you think of, for example, the Lord's Supper, when we gather around the table and unify, remembering ultimately what Christ did, welcoming. One of the things I get from a lot of folks, unless I get a different report from you guys, visitors, but I'll hear from visitors, they're so friendly there. And I say, you don't know them like I know them. But that makes my job easy, that folks feel welcome. Now, it might not necessarily be their worship style, but they feel welcome, folks. And it's the body of Christ that is something we ought to be about. Think of in James chapter 2, where James says, you know, a rich man comes in with gold jewelry and he's, ooh, you sit up here. You know, you sit up here. And then somebody comes in dirty, you know, ooh, why don't you sit in back? Folks, we don't show partiality. We are welcoming. And I like to think we do a pretty good job of that. But ultimately, it's because of what Christ has done for us. That's that fellowship where all are welcome. The love of Christ. I don't know who coined this, but folks, we are beggars telling other beggars where to buy bread. I love that quote. So how do we do that practically? Well, let me read out. Each of these could be a whole message, but listen to these. The one another's, you've probably heard sermons on the one another's. That'll preach pastor, right? The one another's, practical one another's. And there's a whole bunch of them. I'm not going to give you the verses, but these, you can find these throughout Scripture. Love one another. Live in harmony with one another. Welcome one another. Admonish one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be patient with one another. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Sing praises with one another. Regard one another as more important than oneself. Speak truth to one another. Encourage one another. Seek good for one another. Stir up one another to love and good deeds. That's because we gather together in Hebrews. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. Be humble toward one another. Can you not see each one of those that preach? What is that? Those are all the one another's of Scripture. That's what it means. That is what our role, our purpose. That's my prayer for this church family. How are we growing when we've got the one another's? Because because those one another's, so that great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbor, but loving ourselves, but the new commandment that Jesus gave on the night before he was betrayed. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Anybody live up to that? No, of course not, but that's what we're striving. Love one another. I mean, to love the world, husbands, love your wife, but there's a special love within the church family. As I have loved you. How much did Christ love his bride? He died for her. So, that you may also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Folks, there's that manifold grace, the wisdom. The world that is so desperate for meaning in their lives, they've got nothing. They could, if they see the love of Christ in our lives and our love for one another, as imperfect as we are, folks, that's encouraging. And there are people, don't even know what they're searching for, but just that love and that sense of acceptance is important. So edifying, seen in the one another's, and then because of that, then that goes out into the world. And finally and briefly, the church should be about God-centered gospel work. Evangelize. You had exalt, edify, evangelize. And I've seen those on church, like I say, mission and purpose, which ours...
Wow.
Ours already had those, didn't it? The Community Fellowship of Christian. And so the great thing, the great commission, is to go and make disciples. Because the only thing you can do as the church militant while we're here that you can't do in heaven is evangelize and sin. Don't sin. But we ought to be about evangelizing, sharing the good news, being the beggars, telling other beggars where to find bread. As Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 4, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Community Fellowship of Christian Mission and Purpose Statement says, we are going to, for the cause of Christ, we are going to reach our community, our nation, and our world for Christ. So reach, evangelism. So we support missionaries, and we are a very generous giving church around the world. We support local ministries, the food bank, the rescue mission, things like that. Those are wonderful ways to do it. Right here in Lake George, it's in Acts 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Lake George, and all Judea and Samaria, Park and Teller County, and to the end of the earth. Folks, that's our holy privilege to be ambassadors for Christ, to share that good news so that people can be drawn to Christ in a local church, to be edified, to learn how to properly exalt God. And so the community starts, the community, the nation, the world, the church scattered. When we go out here, that's the opportunity we have. When we are gathered, when we are here on Sunday morning, once again, my philosophy of ministry, I tend to be more building up, let's edify ourselves so we can go out there versus the what sometimes is called seeker. Beyond that, seeker sensitive, where it's only the gospel, the gospel message for unbelievers. I primarily, I always say I'm preaching to the choir here. I suspect pretty much everybody in this room is a believer, so let's grow, edify, so we can go out there and evangelize the gospel message, the good news of the person and work of Christ, because it is for Christ Jesus. So, how are we doing? This is the challenge for us, and this is my vision, it ought to be all of us. What do I pray for in my life, your life, the church's life? Are we a pure church? Are we moving in the proper direction? Are we unified, a unified church? Are we moving in the proper direction? Are we exalting God? Maybe that song wasn't my favorite, but you know what? We can exalt God no matter what. Are we edifying? Are you in the Word? That's my role, preaching, teaching, things like that. But are we growing together so we understand what it is God wants for our holiness? And are we evangelizing? Now that's, obviously Jesus is going to be preached during the message when we hear about Christ in here, but primarily it's the world out there that needs to hear about salvation to be found only in Christ Jesus. Next week, if I'm not broken down somewhere between here and Dallas, which is why I asked Giles where he was going to be, just in case. But next week, we'll finish this up, and we're going to talk about then just the structure and organization of a local church, just described biblically. We'll take a look at some of that as to how we do all this organized. We're not an organization, we're an organism, but yet everything ought to be done decently in order, and there's a way to go about it that is more pure or less pure. So we want to try to do it God's way, and ultimately for God's glory. Thank you for your patience. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the privilege, especially as Americans, and we take that for granted, that we can meet in freedom here in this wonderful building as the church, the body of Christ. And may everything we do in this service, but in our lives, exalt you. May we be edifying ourselves through your word, your prayer, just the fellowship. And give us opportunities to evangelize, to share that good news and share where we have found bread. Because, Lord, there is a world dying out there. Help us not to hoard that message, but give us opportunities to share your love, your grace, your mercy, and your holiness with a world that doesn't get it. Thank you for our time here. And be with us as we go our separate ways this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.